We'll do the best we can. Hebrews chapter 2. Have a Bible with you. Thank you. Ladies do a great. It's kind of like homecoming every Sunday here, ain't it? Man, that's a pretty good deal. You know, that's how I got saved. Folks get me to. I've never been an atheist in that sense. I'm just a lost sinner. But even as a heathen, lost heathen boy, I believed in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And, hey man, you could get me to go. My grandmother would get me to go to church at that time of year. I didn't know what all that meant. I believe celebrate his birth of Christ. I'd go with her. I believe Jesus was God. I didn't understand it, but I believe he was. I believe he was virgin born. Amen. I believe he was sinless. I'd go sometime. And then I'd go sometime at Easter. I believe you're resurrected. You could get me to go, and I'd go at homecoming because I like eating chicken. Amen. That's the truth, ain't it? He said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. My grandmother, she couldn't read or write, and she got saved. And she had the author of this book, the Holy Ghost, living in her. She couldn't read a word of it. She was illiterate. She wasn't ignorant. She was illiterate. And she didn't know how to write. If you didn't know her name, she'd get signed her Social Security check. It looks like chicken scratches. Take it to the bank for her. She had a lot of money. Smarter than I was. A lot of money. Amen. But she'd go to church and hear what the preacher said about go out the highways, the hedges, compel them to come in my house. Might be filled. She'd hear him say, we're the light of the world. The city set on hill cannot be hid. But, amen. And she'd try to let her light shine. It's a light of the world. Amen. With the salt of the earth. You hear that. You know, salt makes you thirsty. Amen. She had enough God about her not knowing how to read the Bible to make me thirsty for what she had. She had enough Christian light. She wasn't a super saint. But you could see the light shine. And she said, hey, David, they're cooking chicken and tater salad and pies and cakes and homecoming. And them old ladies, they go all out. They put on the dog. They weren't trying to outdo each other, but they just put on their best, hoping some lost person would come or backslid saint or some member I hadn't seen in a while would come. And I'd go because I loved her because she loved me. And I go down there to please her. She said that even a drunk could go for a free meal, you know. And I'd go and, hey man, before you got to eat, so Preacher Winston hang you out over hell for about 45 minutes. Make you feel like a sheep killing dog. When he got done preaching, I didn't want no chicken. I wanted out of there. But faith come by hearing. She didn't know how to read that verse. Faith come by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. This book here is like a hammer. Bust up that hard heart. Amen. Soften it up. Amen. Am I doing any good? Yes, sir. Amen. So you don't have to know Greek and Hebrew. And some of these Greek and Hebrew scholars, and I'm not against word study, but according to them, my grandma didn't have enough sense to even get saved. The way they talk. Right. Amen. Am I doing any good on that?
Yeah.
Homecoming. Good meal.
Yeah.
Bait them in.
Yeah.
I've heard preachers criticize folks come just for homecoming service. No, we ought to be tickled to death some sinner come.
Right. Right.
Amen. If he don't get saved, he'd be without excuse because he heard it.
Amen.
Then heed to it. Amen. I'm glad I heard it and heed to it. Am I doing any good? I'm just trying to use it.
Yeah.
Thank God for this wonderful salvation. Here in Hebrews chapter 2, my wife knew my grandmother. My grandmother loved my wife. She probably wondered why she married me, but she loved her. My grandmother loved her. And anyway, so much for that. Isn't it good to be saved? Amen. I know you can only get saved one time, and it's not by how you feel, but well, if I could have that same experience that day I got saved, if I could do that again, I'd go join Church of God and do it again. It's a one-time deal. Amen. It's a one-time deal. One-time deal. Amen. Anyway, so much for that. You can tell I'm in a spot right now. Maybe keep you laughing. We'll get out of here in a minute. If y'all would obey the Lord, we'd have a little testimony service right here. Kind of bounce through the crowd and squeeze all the juice out, and we'll go to the house. Hallelujah. And here in Hebrews chapter 2, the Bible said, verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For the words spoken by angels were steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense and reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and confirmed unto us by them that heard it? Lord, we thank you for the good day. Yes. Thank you for the great meal, good time of fellowship. Yes. Just the privilege of being in your house. We have to ask you to help us now. Just a few minutes, Lord, with these folks. Be a blessing to these that chose to stay this afternoon. And use me for your glory. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. That phrase right there, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? That's what I want to preach on. What's so great about salvation? You know, when I got saved, kind of like I heard this or read this somewhere, you know, Christopher Columbus had discovered America. When he landed on the shore, he had no idea all the wealth that lay within this country or this continent we live on. That's the way it is when you get saved. Amen. You just get on the shore. You have no idea what all laid in wait for you after you've been saved. The great treasures in this great salvation. Thank God for God's great salvation. You say, what's so great about it? Well, it's great because of His great forgiveness. Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all transgressions. I think it's Ephesians 2, and you have the quickened who were dead in the trespass and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, in whom we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, amen, fulfilling the lust of the flesh, amen. You ain't helping me not here, amen. But you know, our dead spirit got quickened. You know, when you're born this world, you're born with an Adamic sinful nature and a dead spirit towards God. Amen. When you get to age of knowledge, I don't know exactly where that might be, have something to do with how much Bible you're around and godliness you're around, I'm sure. But when you get to that place, then you become responsible. Up until then, you're an innocent. So, amen. If you die in that innocence, you go straight to heaven, no matter what these Calvinists think. And same way, Church of Christ, no matter what they think, you got to be baptized. They don't even know how to say it. Amen. You know, they teach that. You're not baptized. In other words, a baby don't get the same way the Catholic Church about being Christian and all that stuff, all that ritual stuff they do. Amen. But young'uns that's still under the age of accountability, responsibility, they don't know what sin is yet. They die. They go straight to heaven. Amen. Am I doing any good? I believe that, don't you? Amen. But you know, when you get to the age, you're guilty before, you know you're guilty before God. But a youngin might know what ant means, but he don't know what sin means. Amen. I know what ant meant. Amen. You know, you get to messing with your grandma's knick-knack collection, especially in the country or mountain folks. They collect them things. You buy gasoline, same place all the time. Used to, after so many visits, you got some little trinket, a little image you put in your cabinet, try to get the matching set. And a youngin' go up there, start touch that stuff. They say, ah! There's no definition for that word. But you know what that meant. Ah! Because the next thing, if you did ah, you're going to have a knot on your head. Amen. Ant doesn't mean it's a sin to you. Just don't mess with that. But you know, we get to age where we're responsible. We're sinners. We're exceedingly sinful. Exceedingly sinful. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, He's forgiven us of all trespasses. When I first got saved, I didn't know that. I just thought about how rotten and filthy I'd been up until that day. Almost, I was getting ready to turn 24 years old. I had a lot of sin piled up. And I thought this is wonderful that those were gone. Amen. I didn't know they were all gone. I didn't know the blood of Christ washed my past sins, present sins, all my possible sins away. Amen. And that very moment that I believed the gospel message with all my heart, repented before I knew what repentance was. I wanted to repent under conviction. I wanted to turn from the filthiness I lived in, but I didn't have the power. I didn't have what I needed. I didn't have the Holy Ghost living inside. And greater is He that's in you, in us, than He is in the world. And you know now that we have a Spirit of God that helps us, instructs us through His Word. But you know, when you get saved, He washes all your sins away. Another way, the way He looks at me, He sees me in Christ's righteousness. Amen. And in Him there is no sin. And when He looks at me, He sees me like He sees Him in perfect righteousness because of what God... I didn't know all that thing. But thank God for this great salvation. Amen. It has great forgiveness. I mean, it's so great that it can forgive the rich like Zacchaeus. Oh, Zacchaeus, we sing that song, was a wee little man. And he heard that Jesus was passing by, and he went and climbed up a sycamore tree. You know, sometimes folk do some crazy stuff right before they get saved. This old boy was climbing trees. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, in our day and time, they had to put one of them jackets on him that had the arms in the back. Amen. Give him some antidepressants and took him to the local nut house. But we ain't allowed to say that nut house. I don't know what to title them. That's what we call them, crazy houses. Amen. But old Zacchaeus, amen, he was climbing trees. He was the chief. Amen. He wasn't just a tax collector, but he was the chief. And he was a wealthy man. Everybody hated him because he worked for the IRS. Amen. They hated him. Amen. Amen. If you like them people, you're crazy. But true man is, the Lord loved him. He climbed up in the tree, and the Lord went and stood at the bottom of the tree and said, "Hey, I'm going to go to your house with you." And the Bible said he came down and received the Lord with joy. The one reason I know God forgave him, because he's going to pay all his bad debts. Yeah. Amen. You know, when you get saved, if you're going to have any testimony, if you've dug a deep hole living in sin, salvation's instantaneous. Amen. But if you've dug a deep hole, beating people out of money, drugs and alcohol make a fool out of you, make a pauper out of you. Amen. Because of the lust of your flesh, you can call it addiction, whatever. It's the lust of your filthy flesh. Amen. You like the way that made you feel. And it did not bother you to lie and cheat and steal if they fulfill the lust. Amen. And when you get saved, you're instantly saved on your way to heaven. But everybody you know that you beat out of money, they don't know nothing about it. They want their money back. Am I doing any good for this afternoon? Amen. This is another bad message I'm throwing away, but I'm going to finish it too. Truth of the matter is, amen, you got so many folks that think that just because they got saved, God forgot. He did forgive your sin, but your neighbor ain't forgiven. That guy you beat out of money down there, you know, when you bought that car and you signed on that dotted line, said, "I pay this much money on this day every month till this is mine," and you did it about 3 months, but because you're a filthy, sinful life, you ain't paid that bill and spent it on your own wicked flesh, dug that deep hole, that don't go away instantaneous. Amen. This is going really good. Amen. I'm not proud of it, but I got saved. I owed everybody in town. Amen. I owe so many people in town. When I go deer hunting, tree limb hit me in the back. I said, "I'll pay you Saturday." I got saved, but I dug a deep hole. And if you're going to have any testimony, he said, "If I beat anybody, I'll restore it to him fourfold." He wasn't just going to pay them. He was going to go fix it that they'd see he really meant business. Amen. It took me a long time. Amen. If you're going to live where you live, amen, and you get saved, you're going to have to. There's some things you can't fix.
Right. Right. You're right.
But there's some things you got to fix.
Right.
How am I doing here? Yeah. Same thing if you're saved. Been saved for a while, and you ain't been paying your debts, and you could.
Yeah.
Now, if you got yourself in a pinch, You can go see most of your creditors. They'll understand, try to work with you as long as much as they can. Well, this is going good. Amen. I don't know how I got on it, but the truth of the matter is, it takes you a while. Amen. You might be broke every week, but you can get them things paid off. Folks that don't know nothing about nothing spiritual has happened to you. You tell them you're saved, you're a Christian. They want you to prove it to them by making things right. There's a lot of folks in our church been saved forever, for a long time, brother, and they don't pay their bills. Amen. I'll leave that alone. It ain't going nowhere. We'll leave it alone. Amen. It took me a while to get myself straightened out because I've been a rascal. There's nothing to brag about. That's what sin will do, is make a fool out of you. Amen. There's not no place in town, and this is not a boast. Anyway, there's not a bank in town that I can't go get whatever I might need. That's not me. That's the Lord did that because I got myself straightened out. It took years to get that fixed. I run around broke with no pocket money for years trying to pay everybody I owed. I go see some of them. I said, listen, I got saved. If you'll give me time, I'll pay you. And they look at me like some of y'all looking at me. Sure. Sure you will. Amen. But it takes a while. Now, I don't know. This ain't popular preaching. But I'm just trying to tell you, that's one thing I proof he really got in. Amen. It's so great that he forgive the rich like Zacchaeus. It's so great that he'll save the ruin like that Samaritan woman over in John chapter 4. You know, the Lord went down there and sat on the well. He didn't have to go that way to get to where he's going, but he's waiting on this adulterous woman. Amen. She'd been married 5 times. Can you imagine? Amen. I cannot imagine. 1 time. Amen. My brother's married to 3 different women. If you put their brains in a box of dynamite, wouldn't blow the fuzz off a piece. I'm going to hang around the one I got started with. Amen. How am I doing right there? Amen. I'm just trying to make a point. Point. Amen. I'm telling you what. They're dangerous women. I'm telling you what. You ain't got no sense if you say that. Well, I say you ought not say that. I just like saying it because it's the truth. I mean, hey, but this old gal's life was a mess. But he loved her. We sing that song, when he's on the cross, I was on his mind. I like this song, but it goes further back than that. Somewhere in the eternity past, in the triumph council of a holy God, God knew that man was going to sin. He had grace before there's guilt. Amen. They didn't have to search all over heaven to find somebody to go. That was God's plan to start with. You can't explain it, but I thank God I got in on it. You? Amen. He saw this woman staggering around her sin, ashamed of her life. No doubt she is ashamed. She's going that well at a time of day, hoping nobody else be around there. Those that look down at her. Amen. Because of her lifestyle. And the Lord was sitting there waiting on her. Hey, she didn't know he's going to be there, but he knew well she's going to be there. Amen. He had orchestrated her to get there. That's not Calvinism. That's the foreknowledge of God that you have a hard time explaining all that. Amen. God didn't make her get right, but he did make her want to get right. Amen. He confronted her and told her about her sinful life. He didn't beat her up about it, but he let her know, hey, you've got 5 men that you've been married to. You shacked up right now. Amen. Amen. And before he got done with her, she threw down her water pot, took the well to the house. Hey, thank God for God's great salvation and great forgiveness. No matter how low, how fouled up you get, he loves sinners, neighbor. Righteous need not forgiveness, but sinners. He come to seek and to save that which was lost. He hunted that old gal up. Well, it's so great. The forgiveness of God is so great. He forgave the ruin like the Samaritan woman. He forgave the rich like old Nicodemus. Old Nicodemus, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Same to Jesus tonight, and said to him, Rabbi, we know that our teacher come from God. But no man could do these miracles I do except God be with him. Jesus answered, said, verily, verily, say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb be born? Jesus answered, said, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born of the water and the spirit, cannot enter into the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh. flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, thou said to you, it must be born again. The wind bloweth where it lives. Now here's the sound of it. Can't tell which are coming. But where they go, so is everyone born of the Spirit. Nicodemus was a ruler of the amen, of the Pharisees. He was a big shot in town. Amen. Neighbor, they say he was a very wealthy man. So he came to the Lord in the nighttime. He was physically dark, and he was in spiritual darkness. Amen. But he was concerned. Who made him concerned about this man named Jesus? God made him concerned. That religious mess he was in did not give him no peace, no real satisfaction, no doubt. He was wondering, hey, there's got to be something better than this. That's my thinking about it. Amen. But when he got done, he came in the dark. But he didn't. When he left, you read John 19, he wasn't in the dark then. Amen. Before he came in the dark to talk to the Lord, hoping nobody would see him, any of that religious bunch that he run with, they would excommunicate him, they would have shunned him. Amen. But you read where he came to claim the body of Christ with Joseph in John 19. He walked out in the broad daylight. He wasn't ashamed to be identified with the body of Christ. That's one proof you're really saved. You're not ashamed to be identified with the body of Christ. That's His church. Hallelujah. Hey, you'll shout it in the daytime. You'll tell it in the night. Nicodemus. He come out of the dark and he was in the daylight. Oh, Nicodemus got saved, neighbor. I personally believe he got saved. Well, his forgiveness is so great. He forgave the rich like Zacchaeus, the ruined like the Samaritan one, the religious like Nicodemus, the rebellious like the prodigal. You ever wonder why the prodigal's dad didn't say nothing to him when he wanted his inheritance? He probably already tried to talk him out of leaving. He could probably already tell he was wasting his breath. Amen. He probably thought, well, we'll just let you go. You'll learn your lesson the hard way. Am I doing any good there? That's just me and my thinking. Amen. You got to read between the lines. Get some of my preaching. Hallelujah. It's in here. You just got to read. It's in there. Amen. You notice he had no mother mentioned? Maybe that's one of the problems. There was no mom in the home. Maybe his mother died. Who knows? Maybe she ran off and left him. I don't know. It don't say. I'm not trying to add something there. The mother's the type of the Holy Spirit in the home. Keeps home kind of tender. Amen. And old boy, my brother-in-law had this little song. Y'all probably ain't gonna like it. He said, let me tell you this story of the prodigal son. He wanted to go to town to have some fun. Hit his dad up for some money. Hit the trail, jumped the rail, down the Broadway on the way to hell. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I'll get my brother. I told him you ought to sell that to some of these rap singers, these so-called. You make a fortune off that. Get you a copyright on that thing. Amen. I think I made him feel bad, but he quit singing and cutting up. I thought it was pretty funny. And you, amen, some of you don't think nothing's funny. I've tried all day, amen. Amen. Whether that's so or not, I'm just... Amen. And he went and blowed all that money on harlots. Wicked living. Kind of like in our daytime. Went down the corner. Got him a fifth of liquor. Sack of dope and a loose woman. Amen. All kinds of friends. Then there was a famine in the land. All his funds were gone. All his friends ran out. He's slopping hogs.
Yes, sir.
For a Jewish boy to slop hogs was an abomination to God. So he really got to the lowest he could get. Sometimes that's a good place to get. All the way on the bottom. That's where I was at when I got saved. I was on the bottom. I'm glad I got there. I probably would never looked up. I know we got to the bottom. Everything in my life from that down has always been up. Came to himself. Can't hardly get folks to come to themselves. Amen. Realize. You same thing in prison. You look at them, they're sitting in their prison. And they just ain't come to themselves yet. I said, ain't you sick of this hog being? One fella said, David, I can spend 10 years standing on my head in here. I said, you know why? Because you stupid. You ain't got none of your head. You need to sue your brain for non-support. It ain't working. I said that is behind the bars when I said it. truth of the matter is, you know, that's crazy, ain't it? Yeah. On the bottom. Yeah. We was at a Mexican restaurant in our home. Me and my wife and my boy met me over where we was eating. I looked out the window at this restaurant under these bushes. There's some grocery carts in front of these bushes. Marshtown's full of street people. And I thought it was just the wind blowing some plastic or something. And several old plastic things hanging. I'm talking about bushes. And I saw this movement in there. And this man crawled out of that hole. Pouring down rain. Crawled out of that hole. You think, why don't you come to your senses? There's people that help you get on your feet like that fella. Is it Acts chapter 3? They got him by the hand. Got him by the hand and lifted him up. Yeah. Some people, you know, if they won't help you, I'm glad to help them. Yeah. I said, look at that. It's pitiful. Pitiful. Anyway, so much for that. That prodigal said, hey, I'm going home. My father's servants got more than enough. They don't just have enough. They got more than enough. I'm going home. I'm going to ask if I just be a slave servant here. the father said, I'm a father. I'm guaranteed from the day he left, his dad was looking down that dirt road. Everybody come up down that road, he said, what if that's him from a distance? What about him? No, he don't walk like my boy. That's not my boy. That's somebody else's boy. Yep. Great forgiveness. Amen. When he saw him, he ran, fell on his neck. He ran to meet him. Amen. Prodigal, talk about his sin. He paid no attention to what he said. Didn't pay no attention to how he smelled, how he looked. Right. He's just glad he's home. Amen. Ain't that good? I'm just glad God loves sinners. He loves us even when we get on the bottom. He's always waiting on us to listen. I don't know if it's going anywhere or not. It's so great. His forgiveness, his salvation is so great because of the forgiveness. Even the rotten, like the Gadarene demonic over there in Mark 5, Luke 8. Amen. He was a Baptist before he got right. He didn't have no clothes on. Wait. It get a little warm around here. They'll strip off like lizards for long. They won't wear enough clothes to cover a hummingbird. Sing in the choir on Sunday morning while I love Jesus and go down to the beach. I mean, you couldn't clean a shotgun what they have on. We're having a good time now, ain't we? Amen. Well, at least some of you ain't nodded out yet. Hey, I'm trying to say something. And the Lord said, got them disciples get on this. I'm talking about our great salvation. Great forgiveness. He got them disciples on that ship there in Mark chapter 4. Said, we're going the other side.
Yes, sir.
He went in that ship, went to sleep. Terrible storm blew up. Looked like the ship was going to go under. They forgot that he was going to make it. He said, we're going the other side. I didn't promise you're going to be a smooth sailing all the way. Hey, it's a little rough every now and then. But we're going to make it over there. We're on. We got a promise of that. Yeah. Amen. They woke him up. They said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Hey, the storm didn't shake him up, didn't even wake him up. But as soon as they cried out, he rose up. He rose up, amen. They said, why are you so afraid? Why has he got no faith? He said to the winds and the waves, peace. And there was a great calm. Amen. Then they landed on the beach. Yeah. Myrtle Beach or something. We don't go to the beach. We go to the coast. You can't go down there without getting naked.
Right.
Amen. And some of them ain't got a mirror, because if they had looked it in the mirror before they went down there, they would not go down there that way. Really? Really? Hey. It ain't going to cause you lust. It might cause you to get sick of your stomach. Ain't nothing down there. Look. Amen. How am I doing? Can you see me in a pair of short breeches? Now, I used to wear them. Can you see me, though? My legs look like they've been dipped in Clorox. Got purple knots all over them. Nobody wants to look at that mess. This ain't too spiritual, but hey, I'm doing the best I can. I ain't just like you did, amen. You ought to get up here. Hey, you know the Lord loved this old boy so much. He's demon possessed.
Right.
He had no covering. He wore no clothes. Had no covering for his nakedness. Same shape you was in before he got saved. You had no covering for your sinful nakedness. He liked to hang around dead people. He lived in the tombs. I used to like to hang around the pool rooms and beer joints and all them tombs, if you please. I like to hang around dead people, spiritually dead like I was. Amen. The Bible said they band him with fetters and band. They lock him up. As soon as he made parole, like the dog going to his own vomit, shall be washed to water his mouth. That was his nature. But when he met the Lord,
amen,
no doubt they could hear him at night like a pack of hyenas up in them caves. Amen. No rest, no peace. Jesus said, come unto me all your labor. Hell, and I'll give you rest. That old boy had never had no peace, no rest. But when he met the Lord, the Bible said they found him sitting. Amen. He found some rest, clothed. God covered up his nakedness. And is in his right mind. See, if you're not saved, you're not in your right mind. You might think, I'm enough, but I am screwed on the right boat, one fellow said. But if you're not saved, you cannot understand why you're like you are. I know why I was like I am, and I know why I'm like I am now. Amen. Thank God I've been on both sides of the street, if you please. Thank God I'm in my right mind. I'm not the brightest bird up in town, but I'm not the dumbest one you ever run across either. Amen. Thank God for God's great salvation, God's great forgiveness. Amen. His salvation is so great. Forgiveness is so great that He forgave the rough like that Philippian jailer. Never heard anybody say, well, I can't remember where I got saved. I have a hard time with that one now. Everywhere Apostle Paul, can you imagine Paul, he got saved there in Acts chapter 9, trying to tell when he got saved. Well, I can't hardly remember the place. When God struck him blind. Amen. Heard a voice, saw a light. Amen. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that woman in John chapter 4 forgetting? So, well, I met the Lord, but I don't remember. You'll never forget that that day when he's sitting on the well waiting on her. Amen. I'm just trying to say something to you folks. Amen. You need to, for sure, remember the place. You might not wrote down the date, but I can never forget the place. I do know it's a Sunday morning in the month of November 1974. Amen. Fairview Bible Baptist Church. I have no trouble. It's the greatest day of my life, and it's the greatest place I've ever been up until then. Is that place right there? Hallelujah. I have a hard time. Can you imagine that Philippian jailer as he beat them and helped shackle them down? He's going to probably sit down there and have his lunch. All of a sudden, old Paul and Silas got to praying and singing praise to God, and the ground got to shaking, and the prison doors flung open, the chains fell off, shackles fell off. That old boy getting ready to kill himself. They said, sir, do thyself no harm. We're all here. And the Bible said he sprang in, fell down, called for a light. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved in thy house. And you know that happened to him. Can you imagine him forgetting his jailhouse experience where it happened? Well, I don't know if you think like I do or not. Amen. I'm glad I can remember the place. You remember the place where you met him? Amen. I remember it quite well. I walked in there on Sunday morning, 11:30, 1974. Walked in there, lost on the way to hell, beat down with guilt and shame, didn't know what I was doing there, but the Holy Ghost. No man come to me except the Father sent me to draw him. Somebody had a hold of me. Amen. He wasn't forcing me there, but he made me want to get there. Am I making any sense right now? Amen. Amen. Early that morning, I was in the dope house doing what dope addicts do on Sunday morning. Do drugs on Sunday morning, trying to get over that foolish stuff you did Saturday night. It's an endless, vicious cycle, just on and on. Thank God I'm not in that cycle no more. Amen. I walked in there beat down with guilt and shame. Amen. Walked in at 11:30, walked out about 12:15 on my way to heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. I never forgot the place where I met him. That old jailer, I'm sure he's excited, told everywhere he went. Well, I don't know if it's doing any good or not, but thank God for God's great forgiveness. His salvations are great also because of the great facts. Amen. There in 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Exceeding great precious promises. I didn't know anything about them promises the day I got saved. I just know I got saved. But you know, since I've been saved, I have the promise that God answers my prayers. Amen. Be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made on God. Then the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from the wicked ways, then when they hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. Amen. On and on you could go with this thing about praying. And I'm convicted about my prayer. If you abide in me and I in you, amen, you ask what you will, it should be done unto you. That's not me getting up and praying for a new Mercedes in the morning. Now if somebody wants to buy me one, give it to me, I'll drive it. Hallelujah. Let my wife drive it, haul me around. I get in the back seat. Home, James. You know, amen. But the truth of the matter is, that's not what that means. Amen. Prayers. And we all struggle with our prayer life. I'm sure you do like mine. Maybe you do better with it. Amen. But thou, when thou prayest, and in the closet, shut the door, pray thy Father in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I was sick here some years ago, real bad sick, from stuff I did to myself when I was lost. And my brother died with it. My sister died with it. All my buddies all around me died with it. The liver disease from using dirty needles. And I know I sound like I'm bragging on sin. I'm not. I'm just trying to live like a fool. But you know, and then I found out I had hepatitis C, was destroying my liver. It was really messing me up. And I was shook up about it. Amen. And I figured out I was praying for mercy, not a miracle. No, you reap what you sow. I was of my flesh reaping corruption. I did it to myself. So I was just praying for mercy. My wife got to praying, amen, for a miracle. Amen. And I say this, I wish I'd pray like she does, but amen. I'm not much for just opening the Bible and claiming a verse. But you know, I just accepted the fact it had me shook up, you know, as a really bad way to go. My brother turned yellow like a pumpkin, swole up, looked like a skins on a pile of bones, lost his mind, teeth all fell out. It was a horrible way. My sister's foot literally rotted off her body, and they wouldn't cut her leg off, said he'd kill her, and that was going to kill her because of all this. And I tried to tell you, it was a bad deal, and it was doing me in. Amen. And I'm not much. I just, okay, you lay down with the dogs, so you've got up with the fleas, man up, and just ride it out. And I was having a hard time. It scared me to death. Amen. I don't know if I was scared of dying or just scared of the process. Does that make sense? Hey, nobody wants to die. You're going to do all you do to stay alive. But you know what I'm talking about. Amen. Seeing somebody die that horrible death, it had me shook up. Amen. About that happening to me. And my wife got to praying and weeping and praying and begging God and asking Him to let me live and let that disease not wipe me out. And she opened her Bible one day and this verse in there said, this sickness is not unto death. Well, she come to me and she's all excited about God showing her in the Bible. She said, God told me this sickness is not unto death. And, you know, being spiritual like I was, I said, would you talk to Him and have Him tell me? That would help me a lot. Amen. You know what I mean. That'd help me some. Amen. The truth of the matter is, thank God for a praying wife. Amen. When you feel so low and rotten and undeserving, you don't even try to pray because you've done it to yourself. And then, you know, and then they got this cure. I went through a bunch of old stuff. I'm just telling you some personal experience. If it's good to tell it or not good to tell it, I don't care what these preachers say. I'm just going to be me. But you know, then she got me to go. I went down to Vanderbilt Hospital, Nashville, great hospital. And the doctor down there, a nice fellow. And he said, they're getting ready to okay this medicine. That's a cure. Amen. And that's great, doc. He said, I'll let you know. We'll let you know when. Well, you know, and then $94,000 for 84 pills. Amen. I didn't have $94,000. But she got to praying again. I thought, the insurance company turned me down. I paid a lot of money for insurance. You know how they are, amen. They'll fix everything except what you got. That's how they work. Isn't that right? Just whatever you got. Amen. They're not going to okay it, whatever you got. In other words, you're dead. That's all it is. Good. She got to praying again, got to weep. I'm just trying to tell you how God, these promises in there. Promises in there. Not foolishness, but promises. She got to praying again. The insurance company sent me a letter. So, Mr. Epps, we've made an accepting to you. We're going to pay $93,985. You got to pay $15. Made me mad. Why don't you pay the whole thing? I mean, why make me pay $15? That's the truth. And it worked. That's the reason I'm here. If it hadn't worked, I'd be gone. Thank God for something. God answers your prayer. Y'all bored. Don't be. I hate being bored. I'd rather be mad when you make me make me weep, make me laugh, make me mad, but don't bore me. Amen. I ain't coming back if you bore me. Amen. I'm just telling you personally. I didn't know all that stuff. That belonged to me. That belongs to you. Praying in His will. Amen. I'll tell you one more and I'll leave that alone. Me and my wife would, like you, we first got married. Our week lasted longer than our money. You know what I mean? And we was tired. I mean, it's tired. Amen. You know you're in bad shape. I was driving my dad's Gremlin, ugliest car ever made. It ran good as long as it wasn't raining. But if it was raining, it wouldn't hardly crank, but I didn't have enough money to fix it when it's dry weather. I'm talking about poor, man. Poor. And we'd rent a place and fix it up, and they'd sell it by that money. I got called a priest and was building this church and excited about God used me. And I prayed this little simple prayer one day. I said, Lord, if you mean me to stay here in Marstown and do this for any period of time, if you would, we'd like to have a place of our own. And I know about how much we could probably pay if you would work that out. We have no money. And I was ashamed to even ask. I was just ashamed. It sounded like I was, complaining, but I wouldn't. You'd have to know my grandpa. He was a pretty wealthy fellow. Boy, he's tired as a bark on a tree. You'd just soon pull a tooth with a fire pliers, no painkillers, ask him to loan you the money. He's tight, boy. He's tight. So it was a miracle. One day I was working on this church. I hope I'm not, boy. I'm just telling you. I'm just reminiscing. I was working on a church and my grandpa pulled up in a little car he drove. He said, you got a few minutes, David? I said, yeah. He said, I want to take a ride with you. And my uncle been building these little split foyer houses. They sell them like hotcakes. Just a working man's house. You know something that most working men, just somebody, everyday people could afford if they could come up with a down payment. We went in this neighborhood. He said, you like this neighborhood? I said, pretty nice neighborhood. And would you like to live here? I said, I'd like to live anywhere. He said, see that lot right there? That's yours. And he handed me his checkbook. You'd have to know this. This is a miracle. Nobody touches money. Nobody touched nothing like that. He handed me his checkbook and said, here, your uncle said he'd help you build that house. I'd helped him build some of it. He said, he'll help you do it. Here's my checkbook. You sign my name. Buy all the pay for the materials. You go. And when you get done, come back, see me. We'll settle up. You'd have to know this deal. He didn't give us the whole place, but we could never got it without that. It saved us $1,000, thousands of dollars, and they paid the closing costs on the loan. We prayed. Well, time to make a long story short. My wife's looking at me, you're not doing good at this. Later on, you know, and we don't pick on people, it's your property, but, you know, to me, you ought to take care of it. We had a neighbor, I love that old boy, but he ties hound dogs to the cedar bush behind my house, and I'd have to untie the chain to get him loose and the dog till he got a big tumor on his neck. He wouldn't mow his yard till he got knee deep. The only reason he mowed it then, because this naked woman get out and mow hers, his neighbor, in her bikini, and I said, oh, Trump's going to mow his yard today, that woman's out. How am I doing right there? It's the truth. His refrigerator quit working. He'd push it off the back porch till it petrified. I'm just trying to tell you. Now, if you live that way, help yourself. I'm talking about my neighbor, not you. And anyway, she said that we need to sell this place. Get out of here. It won't be worth nothing. And didn't pray this time. Uh-oh. Amen. Went, had a little money. I bought this lot. Or bought it. I didn't. I had a little bit. And the guy owned this subdivision or building. Said, I'll let you borrow. Do it at bank interest. Pay me whenever you can. You can have this lot right here. No prayer. Okay. Am I boring y'all? I'm trying to hurry. Hi. I probably ought to just reminisce by myself on this stuff. But, okay, you know, and then finally, she said, you ain't never going to do nothing with this. I go over and mow that lot, you know, and she said, you ain't never going to do nothing. And I said, well, find you a place. She's like, we'll do it. So this guy's supposed to buy my old house I went to church with. And I'm in up here, up to here in debt with this new thing without praying. Got myself in a mess. That old boy said, David, I can't buy your place. I was about done, except I needed that money out of that other place to finish this mess I'd got myself into. Amen. If Jesus sent an archangel here to tell me to build another house, I ain't listening. Amen. I ain't going nowhere. I just ain't going. It's a nightmare. So he couldn't buy my place. I was in debt up to here. Couldn't sell. I got two houses. If I was sure I was saved, I'd kill myself. You know what I mean? I wasn't even sure I was even saved. Amen. So miserable. I was in a real mess. I don't know how to tell all this, but it's just dumb things you do on your own. Well, I worked on that house all day thinking, well, if I got myself in a mess. And I'd pray that day. I said, Lord, I should have prayed to start with, but I didn't. But please, Lord, get me out of this fix. Please. Please help me out of this. 9:30 at night, I went out and stuck a sign in my front yard of the old house we was living in. Put it up with a hammer and went in out. For sale by owner. 30 minutes later, the phone rang. Pitch dark. Probably 10 o'clock. Lady on the phone said, see, you got your house for sale. I said, how do you see that? She said, well, the neighbor's a friend of ours, the one that mowed his yard when that naked woman mowed hers. I like that old boy. He's driving me nuts. He's a friend of ours, and we're renting a house right down the street, and we like to look at it. I said, what day you want to come by? She said, how about right now? My wife said, you can't have her up here at this time. And I look at this mess. I said, you ought to have it fixed. I'm thinking about hanging myself. We got to sell it. Put it the sign out at 9:30. By 10:30 I had it sold with a down payment with the earnest money. That's how much God loves us. He just don't help us out when we're, you know, doing it the right way, but he helps us out even when we've done stupid stuff the wrong way. They bought that house, that other house. No question, didn't try to dicker me down. I'd have come down on the price. I might have cut it in half. Just get out from under the thing, amen. They pay me. I'm trying to tell you, that's a promise. I didn't know that. Am I making any sense?
Yes, sir.
Answer our prayers. He promised to always be present. I'll never leave you, never forsake you. I'll go with you. Always, even the end of the world. That's eternal security right there in that verse. I don't know why folks who believe you can lose it don't get a hold of that. Eternal life. He's never left me. I didn't even know that doctrinal truth. But since I met him that day, somebody, wherever I went, somebody on the inside of me went with me. And he was always talking to me. Before I knew the written word had the Holy Ghost in me. Amen. He wrote the word and he'll talk to you. Even if you don't know the written word, he'll speak to you about the written word. Let you know which way you're going, if you're going the right way or the wrong way. Isn't that wonderful? Hey, no other religion in the world has got a God that cares about them like that. That all comes along with salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. Am I doing any good here? I believe it's okay. Ain't that right? Hey, I tell you what, He also promised we'd arrive on time. Amen, we're going to make it. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. Were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you and myself. That where I'm at, you're there, you may be there also. Amen. Let not your heart be troubled. Amen. Thank God I'm not worried about it. I'm headed to heaven. If I don't make it back to Marshtown, Tennessee, don't feel bad. Don't celebrate too much that I'm gone, but rejoice where I went to. Thank God Almighty. That all comes along with being saved. Yeah, I don't know all that till you get saved for a while. Amen. Well, let me hurry. Great forgiveness. Great forgiveness. Amen. Hey, He also promised to award us for our progress. Amen. That's another thing goes along with Him. He rewards you for here, for your faithfulness. But at the judgment seat of Christ, after the rapture, somewhere up there in the presence of God. Amen. Hey, we're going to get snatched out of here one of these days before the Antichrist makes his debut. Amen. That's 1 Thessalonians 4. We're leaving here. Hey, Revelation chapter 4. We're leaving here. That's what He said. Caught up into heaven. Amen. Saw a door open. Amen. We're going to get out of here one of these days. Amen. Thank God Almighty. Amen. I'm glad I know something about this book. I'm leaving here. And at the judgment seat of Christ, now little children abide in Him that when He shall appear, may have confidence, not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know He is righteous, you know it, everyone that doeth right, born to Him. Behold, what man of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. But now we are the sons of God. Doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Every man have this hope in him, purify himself, even as is pure. I do know, probably without a doubt, that I'm not going to receive no crown or no reward. But my goal, if nothing else, is not to be ashamed. Not be ashamed when I see Him face to face. I do not want to be ashamed. I don't want to get there with some unconfessed sin. He didn't tell me I even have to ask Him forgiveness. Just confess it. We've done been forgiven of all our sins. But if you sin, amen, it bothers you. Amen. Right. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Only way you can get that off of you is admit to Him what He already knows about you. You could probably say, I'm sorry for letting that happen, Lord. But He's done forgive you. He just wants you to admit it. You can't hardly get folks to admit nothing.
Right.
I'm going to quit right here. Amen. Am I doing any good? Your husband ain't saved, but I believe you are. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey. Hey, great salvation. Great forgiveness. Great facts. Amen. By the way, it's not my responsibility to get me to heaven anyway. Kind of like Abraham said his servant Eliezer, they say, after Isaac, a bride, found Rebekah. Amen. You know the story. He went home with her. Amen. Then they said, will you go with this man? No questions asked. That's the way it was when I got saved. No questions asked. Didn't have to understand it all. I want that. I want Him. Amen. Amen. Got on them camels. Amen. That's a picture of grace. Riding through the desert, no doubt. Got a little shook sometime because of the storms and stuff they faced on the way to Isaac's house. Amen. I'm sure old Rebecca got tore up, a little nervous. And that servant probably reached, who's the type of the Holy Spirit, might have reached his hand over her, put it on her shoulder, say, hey, don't sweat it. I got this. Hey, it was that servant's responsibility to get Rebecca to Isaac. It's not my responsibility. It's the Holy Spirit's responsibility to get me to Jesus. Hey, we're going that way. Thank God for the promises of God. Amen. Then last of all, God's salvation is so great because of our future. Amen. Future. We're going to live in a city. Go in and out of this city 1,500 miles in every direction. A big cubicle type thing. Gold. Clear as crystal. Can you imagine? I heard this on the radio one day. I don't know where they get these figures. Said if everybody from Adam till then, which has been several years ago, had died and went to heaven, there's enough room up there. There's 36 square acres of room for everybody if everybody went to heaven. How they get that stuff, I don't know. It makes good preaching, though. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Then that city is going to be suspended in the heavens. I can't get a hold of that, can you? Gold street, you see through. My wife said, can I live in your mansion? I said, you'll have to act better there than you do here. Amen. That'll help me down the road, won't it? Been nice knowing you. Come to my funeral, will you? Hallelujah. Truth of the matter is, I can't get a hold of that. You know. Pearl gates. Walls of jasper. You can't get that with that. Heaven to me is when I don't have this rotten brain. My. They sang a song. I wish that I can't even remember. It's such a good song. Just recently heard it a few times. About when I forget what God don't remember. Something to that effect. That's it. Amen. Never to have another dirty thought. Heaven. Not to remember none of that smuck that God don't remember. Never to say another unkind word. This pure honey. You understand? Never to get angry again. I could live right if I didn't have to drive so much. I really could. Amen. Amen. So many idiots on the road. Isn't that right? He know. He's a truck driver. He know. I'm telling you, it's a hard job. Amen. Amen. You forgive him. He cusses a little bit, but he has a right to. I mess you up. Embarrassed. That's awful. You know, sometimes I temper. I have a little temper. But I have a big temper. I'm not an in-your-face kind of fellow. I never want to fight, but I like to try. You know what I'm saying? You can't be that way if you get saved, you know. And if you fly off the handle and let your mouth run before your brain kicks in, it grieves the Holy Ghost. And then you're miserable. You say, man, why did I do that? And then the Spirit of God deals with you. Amen. Get that thing right. Amen. Go to the altar. Get it fixed. Little dove flying around down in there again. Holy Spirit. Going down the road, listening to gospel music. Got right with God. Surely I won't never lose my temper again. Better watch it. Surely I won't say that again. Going down the road. Tears run down your cheek. Pray and listen to gospel music. Little dove floating around in there. About that time when these brain dead teenagers. You know, when it paints his car purple or lime green or that ugly yellow, you know? Good night. And they take the suspension out from the car. And when they go over a curb, their fender cuts their tire up. That's a genius right there. And if you ride behind them, it looks like a chicken pecking corn. Ain't no shot. Got them boom boxes in there. They're like, boom, boom. You pull up at a red light, you're shaking all over, and you think, man, my sugar's down. Spell. And you look over at this guy, got a hubcap in his ear, and a log and chain, and decals all over, and his purple hair, and the fight up, amen. If you ain't careful, you become a Pharisee. Amen. And you're going down the road, just enjoying the day, just got right with God. Holy Ghost, little dove. Here they come. Got them wheels that still turn. You look at that long enough, my age, you'll throw up. You will. Nah. Nah. They spend a lot of money being stupid like that. Really? They think that's slick. They go by you doing the speed limit because you just got right with God. I don't do that. I'm preaching right now, though. Blow their horn.
Yeah.
Cuss you. Get out of the road, old man. A dove flies out of the window. Come here, you idiot. I'll slap your brains out. That's what I do. I know you'll have no trouble with that. Little dove flies back in. He never did leave. In that big city, and it ain't gonna happen then. But it happened now. I'm not doing any good here. I'm just rambling. Y'all put me in this spot. You shouldn't feed a man like that and then get accepted. Get up and expect him to say something intelligent. You shouldn't do it. Little dove flies back in. And you can hear him. That's why he won't act like that. That old boy's just doing what comes natural. He don't know nothing about God. Why you let that boy irritate you like that? You got the Holy Spirit in you, God in you. God in us. That's what gets me. He's in us. You think we'd be more sensitive to him. Got the Holy Scripture working on you. Got the saints of God that loves you, pray for you every day. All your sins are gone. And you're headed to paradise. Ain't going to be that way over there.
That's right.
Heaven. Won't be acting like that. That's going to be heaven to me. Yeah. And we'll be a nice guy over there. I have a hard time over here because people are so mean over here. They won't let you live right, won't they? I used to like to smoke. I smoke cigarettes on both ends, eat the middle. If I get to heaven and find out that wasn't such a bad thing, smoking a cigar and have a little sip of wine, I'm slapping some of these preachers. They won't let you do nothing. Am I doing any good right now? Hey, thank God for the future. Amen. Oh, devil, the devil that sees him, cast in the lake, fire and brimstone, the beast, the false prophet are, he's going to be tormented day and night forever, and we don't have to mess with our foe anymore. We don't have to fool with that rascal. Amen. Wonderful day. Well, I quit. Thank God for salvation. There's more, but I've said too much. It's time to go to Tennessee. Nice knowing you. Probably last time I see you over in heaven, though. Some of you I might not. Some of you I will. I don't know about some of you. I'll try to have a good time.
Amen.
Serious note, but I hope you don't think I just act foolish. It's true Bible stuff. I try to enjoy living.
Yes,
sir. I have some bad days just like you, Dave. Days I've not been able to smile. Days I wonder if I was going to make it through my wife, and I'm not. My wife's had 2 brain tumor surgeries. Sad day. There won't be none of that stuff. No graveyard. No cemetery. Amen. No cleanings. No graveyards to go to. Heaven. All come along with so great salvation. A lot of days are tough. But over there, I don't know all we're going to be doing there, and I don't know what we're going to be doing at Millennial Kingdom. I don't know all we're going to be doing eternity, 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 eternity. But I know if you're not saved, in your eternity you're going to be screaming, begging, gnashing the teeth, begging for water, blaspheming God, begging for water. It might be for a billion years from now, you'll still be a begging and screaming because you turned down so great salvation. It's a gift. He said, here, take this wonderful gift. Free. You cannot explain why folks don't want it. But I didn't want it myself until the good Lord come along and convicted me. And I'm not special, neither are you. No man's going to have any excuse. No man. Without excuse. Come on, preacher.